The upstart country rabbi was walking along with his disciples. It was a sunny day like it is this morning in Midland, Texas. The sun shining brightly upon their faces. And he stopped and he looked intently and deeply into his followers' eyes. He said, "Oh, this is a teachable spiritual moment." And he said to them, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. And no one in their right mind takes a lamp and puts it under a bushel." Oh, no, no, no. They take it off. They let it shine. And it gives light to all in the house. Well, in 1963, the newly formed Unitarian Universalist Association put out a General Assembly resolution. It was the first such resolution by any denomination in the United States regarding the laws around a woman's opportunity to have abortion in the United States. And they said in that resolution that the current laws were an affront to human life and dignity, calling upon our faith and our congregations to begin working to transform and shift these laws. Now, why, given the political and social and religious climate in America today, why is it that a spiritual organization, people calling themselves religious, why would they take this sort of stand? So one of the great privileges I have as the director of your Texas Unitarian Universalist Justice Ministry is that I get to travel all over the state of Texas. Once a month, I'm in a different congregation. I mean, I've been all the way from the Red River congregation up in Denison, all the way down to the Hidalgo County congregation on the border. I've been all up along the coast, Corpus Christi, Beaumont, Victoria, and now here I am way out in West Texas. And I do want to tell you about these people up in Denison. Red River. That congregation is so liberal. They have people from Oklahoma that go there. And can you imagine being that liberal? But when I went to Victoria and gave a sermon such as this, a couple of months later, I got a Facebook message from a young man who was in the congregation. He said, "Chuck, what you said, your sermon and your words of it's time for us to get out of our comfortable chairs and our safe congregations and our wonderful oasis of like-minded people and get out into the community and let people know who we are and what we stand for." And he said, "You know what? We have never had a pro-choice rally in Victoria, Texas. We're going to have the first one, and we want you to come down and speak with us and be with us during that time." And so I was privileged to do that 2 years ago. Now this year, they did it on their own, which was awesome, and they put a Facebook posting out, and they tagged me in that Facebook message. I come home on a Saturday night about 10 o'clock after a very long day. I got to get up early and you know, finish up on my sermon stuff and get ready and go preach the next morning. And I thought, you know, you're going to relate to this, Reverend Emily. What, better check that email one more time. Just make sure no disasters happened or, you know, there's nothing, a big fight in the church or something I need to attend to. And I opened up that thing and I got the thing and said, "You have a Facebook message," and it was from my aunt in Mississippi. I grew up in the Church of Christ. She is a Church of Christ woman. I didn't know she was on Facebook. And here was basically the message said, Chuck, what has happened to you? You are now advocating for the killing of babies. Your grandfather would be ashamed of you. I am ashamed of you, and you should be ashamed of yourself. What has happened to you? And when I go to the Capitol and talk with legislators and I tell them I'm a person of faith and I begin to articulate our belief system and I'm representing Unitarian Universalism as one of your faith leaders, they automatically say, when I begin to say what I say, advocating for the conscience of a woman to take precedence over male legislators in D.C. or in Austin, they'll wipe their brow and go, oh, I just knew when you said you were a person of faith, you were going to say exactly the opposite thing. So we have a climate in America. We certainly have a climate in Texas where the prevailing religious belief is that if a woman makes that choice of conscience to have an abortion, a difficult choice, a choice that she wrestles with, that person is committing a sin or is killing a life. So why is it that a religious organization like the Unitarian Universalist Association in 1963 began to say, that is an affront to human life and dignity to have laws like that? And I'm going to take you back to what I learned way before God was a man, way before the Father knows best religions, to the days when the goddess was the religion of the earth. And you know what I learned in every book that I would read regarding upcoming of the Father Knows Best religions. You know what the first thing that they did with these goddess religions, with these religions that honored the earth, with these religions that honored the rhythms of life, the bodies of women, the very first thing they did was to control the reproductive choices of women. And that's the spiritual principle. Do we represent, as religious people of faith, a faith that's going to honor that sacred trust between a woman, her creator, her doctor, and her family? Or do we want people motivated by a Father Knows Best religion and through a legal process to say, we're going to decide for you what your moral choices will be, and if you violate that, you could go to jail. That's the spiritual principle of trusting the autonomy of a woman, her right of conscience. Now I want to take you to Texas in 1969. So it took 6 years somehow from 1963 to 69 for this news to trickle down to Dallas, Texas. I guess it was kind of like Juneteenth, you know, how long it took the news to get over to Texas that there had been an emancipation of the slaves. But there were women at the First Unitarian Church, what's called the Women's Alliance there, who they got this news in 1969 about this resolution that had happened in 1963, and there was a lot of movement going on in the country around these matters, and they said, hey, we want to study this. We want to know what this is about. And there were some women, you know how it is in any organization, I'm sure it's true in this congregation, you have a range of thoughts. Some of the women in the Women's Alliance there at First Unitarian Dallas said, we just need to study this and be very deliberative. And others, no, we cannot take this any longer. We've got to be out on the streets. We've got to be going to the legislature. We've got to change this tomorrow. And, you know, everybody in between. But they decided to deliberately study. A woman named Ellen Kalina and Pat Davidson were heading up that Women's Alliance. And I've had the privilege of going to their library and getting the book out and reading the history of what happened. And they invited a woman named Virginia Whitehill of Planned Parenthood to come speak to them. And this is something that moved them from their intellectual understanding of what was going on. When Virginia Whitehill said, you are among the most privileged women, not only in Dallas, not only in Texas, but in America. And if you decide that you need or want an abortion, you're going to have the means financially and the connections to get that done, and you're not going to be prosecuted or go to jail. You're going to have the resources you need to get that. But I want you to think about the women of Texas, the women of color, the women in the rural areas, the women across this nation who do not have the resources, who are either going to put their own lives into jeopardy or possibly go to jail if they're caught doing this. And at that point, there was a shift. The women realized that's exactly right. We cannot sit here in our privilege in the Highland Park area of Dallas, Texas, and not work for the liberation of other women all across this nation. So they began to go down to the legislature. And Reverend Dwight Brown was their minister at that time. Has anybody here ever met Reverend Dwight Brown? You've met Reverend Dwight. He's gone on to meet Emerson in the sky. But he was our district executive for many years. Has anybody been to the Dwight Brown Leadership Experience? So that is a regional week-long experience of leadership named after Dwight Brown. He was their minister at the time. He would drive women down in a van to the legislature to testify. And you know what? They had formed, this might be a little difficult to believe now, but at that time, Planned Parenthood was not on board with working for, with lobbying for the woman's right to an abortion. So they formed another entity called Texas Citizens for Abortion Education. And just the fact that they had that word abortion in there, they could not find anywhere to meet. They couldn't find anywhere to have an office. They were operating out of the basements and the garages of Ellen Kalina and Pat Davidson and these people. But Reverend Dwight Brown took a courageous stand and he said, yes, I'm going to give you a place to meet at First Unitarian Church. I'm going to allow you to have an office here. So they quickly found out, and has anybody here ever gone and testified at the legislature? Yeah, well, you'll find, generally speaking, the things that you and I may want to speak to them about, they will most times turn a deaf ear to that, right? So it gets frustrating. The women got frustrated pretty quickly, and they said, you know what? We're going to have to go the legal route here. You know, we're all going to be dead and gone by the time we try to get something through the Texas legislature. So they began looking for a Jane Doe, and they met these lawyers, a woman named Linda Coffey and Sarah Weddington. They began to work with them to try to find a test case. And eventually, they found a woman who we now know as Jane Roe. And they took this case before the circuit court there in Dallas. Believe it or not, they won that initial case. It went to the Fifth Circuit, which is a very conservative court. They lost that case, and that was the case that went to the Supreme Court called Roe versus Wade. The women of the First Unitarian Alliance not only helped with their energy, they helped with raising money. They were also signed what's called the amicus brief, the friend of the court brief. They were one of the signers on to that case that went to the Supreme Court, Roe versus Wade. And as you all know by now, in January of 1973, by a 7-2 vote, Roe versus Wade was passed, saying that a woman in America had a constitutional right with her conscience to have an abortion if she should so choose and not be in danger of going to jail for it. And so here we go. The light is shining. But even as I say that, see, I feel a little bit like, wow, you're supposed to be a minister, Chuck. You're supposed to, why are you saying that? The religious climate has gotten such, and a lot of it is because of our silence, of speaking out, of letting people know who we are and where we stand, and that we believe most certainly in the autonomy of a woman. Now, I am very proud, and I hope you are too, of the leadership that Unitarian Universalists showed in this landmark situation of flinging the bushel off of your light and letting that light shine. But I'm also disturbed because I was at the Capitol several years ago. I was in the gallery. I was testifying along with thousands of other people of good heart and good mind and good soul when in a second special session, finally, Texas enacted some of the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, and furthermore, those have become a model for other states across the nation. Now, if you're paying attention, you know that recently there was a Supreme Court decision that said that those laws were unconstitutional. Now, I am relieved, but I'm by no means rejoicing or jumping up and down shouting. In 2008, there were 67 clinics in the state of Texas where if a woman made a choice of conscience that she wanted or needed an abortion, she could get one. Right now, there are 19. 93% of the counties in Texas, a woman cannot receive a safe, constitutional abortion. I don't know what happens in this county. Do you know? Okay, you got to drive. So, even if, that's why, you know, when you have to count on the refs, i.e. the Supreme Court, for you not to get blown out of the stadium in the game, i.e. these laws, that ain't a victory, folks. That's only a short reprieve because we've been silent, we've been dormant, we've been slumbering, we've been shamed for too long. We've allowed that shame to keep us silent of saying we are people of faith. We are people who believe something. We are people who can articulate a faith of integrity. that says it's not okay for people to hoist their religious views onto us. Let me tell you, I was not able to be in the gallery during the last hour of that debate on the Senate floor when Dan Patrick and others, our lieutenant governor, were leading the charge for the final passage of these laws. I was listening online through the Texas Tribune, which is, by the way, is a great news source. It's a very even-handed news source. I would say follow the Texas Tribune. I was listening online, and I swear to goodness, it sounded like I was listening to a Baptist Bible study. Now, you and I are more than happy to support freedom of religion for the Baptists and anybody else to have their Bible studies in their places of worship and wherever else, but not on the floor of the Senate. It was as clear could be. These guys were quoting their interpretation of scriptures left and right, saying, God has told us to make this law, and they're going to force their religious interpretations of the Bible onto the women of the state of Texas and make it a law. And the reason that can happen is because you and I have been quiet, silent, dormant, afraid, shamed for too long, and that cannot happen anymore. I'm happy to tell you an opportunity. One of the ministers who, growing out of that, has formed what's called Texas Faith Voices for Reproductive Justice. And we are inaugurating, this is an interfaith group, we are inaugurating what we're calling reproductive justice congregations. And so we are asking congregations to have a designation, just like this congregation has a designation as a green sanctuary or a welcoming congregation, you know, those kind of designations, to say that this congregation is a safe place, is a reproductive justice congregation that says that we trust the conscience of a woman, we will not judge her for the decisions she makes about her own reproduction, including abortion. Now, I'm here to tell you that I work in Austin and all across the state with some of the most progressive faith leaders that anyone can produce or know. And even those people are saying they're going to have a hard time in their congregations getting their congregations to affirm that statement because it has that A word in there, abortion. But it's time that we come out clearly and say, this is who we are, this is what we believe, this is what we stand for. We're going to stand by the conscience of a woman. We trust women more than we trust male-dominated legislatures working out of their interpretation of their religion to force that on us and the good women of Texas. So I'm hoping your congregation will consider this. And I want to just hasten to say that I understand and I appreciate we can have difference of conscience along this matter. So I'm not here saying if you don't believe in the woman's right to choose, you're not a Unitarian Universalist or you're not a good Unitarian Universalist. Please don't hear me saying that. I respect everyone's right of conscience along this line. But it's clear for us and our congregations currently in the justice ministry that this is the stance that we are taking. I'm going to talk more about this, but this is the reason we've organized. This is our Texas Unitarian Universalist Justice Ministry. We have our 3-year anniversary soon. 33 congregations from all across the state of Texas are with us, and we hope that you guys will join in as well. We sorely need the energy and the resources and the big sky mentality of West Texas in our coalition. This is an accomplishment sheet, and I'm happy to say that we had so many accomplishments, I had to make the print so small that you may have to get a magnifying glass out to read them. And we can talk more at lunch about this. So as I close this morning, Margaret Sanger, who was a very instrumental woman in getting, contraception, where that wasn't unlawful, getting that as part of really the liberation of women in America and across the world. She said this: no woman is free until she can make the decisions about her own body and her own reproduction. Until such time, that woman is not free. So let us together fling that bushel off your light and let reproductive justice light shine in the state of Texas. Amen.